You lie.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Ready? You lie.
Our Father, in name said Jesus Christ, Lord. We thank you for this day, dear Jesus. We thank you for the anointing that's over this house, dear Lord. Ministers that speak, dear Jesus, a word, dear Lord, for us to nibble on, dear Lord, and go back again to study, dear Jesus. I thank you, dear Lord, for the word that is prepared to go forth this morning, dear Jesus. I thank you for the pastor, dear Lord, that he's taken that time to hear from you, dear Jesus. I pray a fresh anointing today, dear Lord, as we listen and allow it to register, dear Lord. Allow it to for our hearts to receive it on a higher level, dear Jesus. We pray for those abroad, dear Lord, that they will hear the message as it comes, dear Jesus, that their hearts are ready to receive it, that they take down the notes, that they study and they ask God for a greater understanding, dear Jesus. We thank you today, as always, dear Lord, for your continual blessing over this house. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 All right. Praise God.
Amen.
Is everybody ready?
You ready enough?
All right. You guys ready?
Yes.
I'm waiting for a couple people.
Okay,
amen.
Ready.
Amen. Y'all ready?
Yeah,
all right. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
All right. It is a blessing to be here today. Chihira must have helped me out because I had my moment with the Lord this morning, and it was, you know how you feel like he's with you. So that was beautiful. And so we have quite a message today. I don't think the message is directed so much at everyone here, because I think a lot of people here are already born again, right?
Yes.
But it is basically directed at the whole world. And it's also directed at us, because we need to understand that what I'm about to teach you in the beginning is a fact, okay? And I'm just going to get started.
Amen.
Praise God.
That's it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay. The Lord told me to start today just like this. There was a guy, and he was by himself in his car, and he decided he needed to get in the carpool lane so he could get to work faster. How many of you know you can't do that? If you by yourself, can you drive in a carpool lane by yourself? You know it's right. It's against the law, right?
Right.
What happened? They give you a ticket, right?
Big ticket.
So the police pull him over.
Your microphone.
Yes. You hear me now?
Thank you, JJ.
Thank you, JJ. So the police pull him over. And he said, "Officer, officer, officer, yesterday I was at work and I was late yesterday, and my boss told me if I was late again today that I would lose my job, and I got 3 kids and my wife's not working now. I had to get in the carpool lane because I have to get to work on time." And the police officer said, "That's a wonderful story. Sign your ticket right here." And he wrote him a ticket. Lord said, the next day, another guy was in the carpool lane by himself. But he's in a nice Rolls Royce. And the police pull him over and say, "Hey, you can't be in this lane by yourself." He said, "Now you know, look at who I am. You see this car? You see this suit? Now you know I shouldn't have to ride in that lane with those people. I just want you to understand who you're pulling over." And he says, "I'm a very wealthy man." And the police officer said, "Well, hold up, I'll be right back." He came back, he said, "Sign your ticket right here. Get out of the lane or I'm going to give you another one." So the guy got out of the lane, and next day someone pulling said, "Oh, officer, please don't give me a ticket. I just got a call from my wife. She says she's about to have the baby, and please don't give me a ticket. I got to make it there on time. Please don't write me a ticket. And he said, really, your wife's having a baby? Where is she? Well, she's at the hospital where she should be okay. There's people to take care of her. Here, I'll be right back. Ooh. He said, sign your ticket right here. Now, I say that because the Lord wants me to explain something to you that is a spiritual law, okay? You have things in this world that are laws according to this world, okay? There are some things that you can do in this world that are legal, but in heaven they are illegal. Yes. Like you could be a homosexual on earth and you won't even go to jail, but they're marking it down as a crime. Yes. In the spirit realm, because it's illegal in the spirit realm. You understand? It's not even really a crime if you tell a small lie. But in the spirit realm, they write them down. All crimes are subject to the same punishment unless you get pardoned. You understand? So, I want to read to you something, and it's in the book of Acts, and it's chapter 4. You can get to Acts chapter 4. Oh, you young people, we're going to get deep today. Okay. And we're going to start reading at verse 8. Listen, you guys. It says here, then Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. He said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we were being called into account today for the account of kindness shown to a cripple, and are asked, how was he healed? Then know this, and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is, who is he talking about? He is Jesus Christ. He is the stone who the builders rejected, which has become the capstone or the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must. Somebody give me the definition of must. You could say you gotta. In my neighborhood, that said mean you gotta. Must means you have to. You understand? So listen, it says salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which you must be saved. So now, this is a spiritual law. There's one name given from heaven to the earth for all men. And they said there's no other name that you can call on to save you from the penalty of your sins. Okay? Now you might say, well, I haven't sinned. I haven't done much, right? I want to explain to you, when you came into this world, you were already guilty. Yes. Of manslaughter. You know what manslaughter is?
Yes.
That means you killed somebody, but you didn't mean to do it. Because you know what killed Jesus?
Sin.
And if you've sinned, you're guilty of manslaughter. Did you mean to do it? No. But if you did, if you came into this world, you're already guilty of manslaughter because Jesus died for sin. You understand? Back in the day, they had six cities called cities of refugee, of refuge, right? And if you sinned and you didn't mean it, like you accidentally killed somebody and you didn't mean to do it, you could run to the city of refuge and you could stay there and be safe because, you know, that guy's family would be trying to kill you because you accidentally killed someone in their family. So you didn't mean to do it. So God gave you a city where you could go to and you could stay in this city and you could be safe until the high priest dies.
Yes.
And who's our high priest?
Jesus Christ.
He's not dying. So you can be eternally safe if you go and hide in Christ, okay? Let's read another scripture. Let's go to John chapter 3.
Amen.
All right, here we go. And we're going to be reading verse 1 through 7. It says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a man of Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. No one could perform the miracles and signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of heaven unless he's born again. Let's continue. How can a man be born again? Born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of the water and of the spirit. Flesh is born to flesh, meaning you have parents that are fleshly, but spirit is birth spirit. God says he has to give you a new birth for you to even be able to see the kingdom of God or for you able to be able to enter the kingdom of God. So you, the other scripture says you must be born again. This scripture says you will never see heaven if you don't get born again. Okay? And remember, there's only one name. So all other religions nullified. I don't care if you're a good Buddhist. I don't care if you're a good Muslim and you do a lot of charity. I don't care what other religion you go by. You will never see the kingdom of God.
Right.
You will never enter it. Why? Because you didn't do what was qualified by law to enter. What is the law? You must be born again.
Amen.
Now, you know, the world can argue with you all day because they want to. Well, he's a good person. She's a good person. You sound just like the guy in the carpool lane.
Right.
That has nothing to do with the law. The law says you must be born again. You have to have Jesus to get into the kingdom.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
You have to have Jesus. And he says there's no other name.
Amen.
Okay? Let's go back to Acts chapter 2. Here it is. Acts chapter 2. I'm going to start at verse 36. It says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Mm-hmm. He is both Lord and Messiah.
Yes.
When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter, and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What is the first thing he told him to do?
Repent.
So when you hear people on TV, the Joel Osteens going, just say this prayer after me. Jesus, I believe you're in heaven. I believe you came from the... I believe. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. If you said that prayer, you're saved. You never repented.
Never.
So how can... The first instruction is, if you're going to come to God, first you got to say, I don't want to be like I used to be.
Right.
That's the first thing you got to say. If you try to come to Jesus and say, I am who I am, but I believe you, I believe in you, but I am who I am, and I'm going to be who I'm going to be.
Wow. There you go.
He's like, no, thank you. You will never see the kingdom of God.
Right.
Right?
Amen.
Because there are prerequisites to doing what God told you to do to save your life.
Yeah.
Come on, come on, man.
I'm not talking about to make you a good person that goes to church. I'm talking about to save your life.
Yeah.
Some of you kids, you've been born, what, 2006 and stuff. I'm like, man. And you know so much. Like, I'm so smart.
So smart.
You don't know nothing.
Nothing.
I was born in 1961. Know what my grandfather told me one day? You don't know nothing. All of us came into this movie late. You understand? The only way we can know something is to go back to the beginning and read what God is doing and what God has done. Yeah. Why did Jesus come? Why did he have to come? Why did he have to die? Why did he have to resurrect? If you don't know and understand that, potentially you are a candidate for death.
Yes.
Except for with God, people don't get to die. They don't get, like, you, don't you wish, like, okay, I don't want to live no more, I'm just disappear. I mean, people that, me and Wink, we watched a guy, and it was crazy. We watched a guy on a building jump as we got off the metro. And why he jumped, we didn't know. But it was this, you know, that's, you hear about people committing suicide. But to walk out the metro and go, oh my God, right? You like, we were like, that was crazy. Now that person probably never thought about the fact that when he dies, that's not the end. It's like, okay, comma, now you continue.
Right.
There's God only has one jail. And it's hot.
Yeah. Come on.
Okay.
Well,
I'm talking to you about saving your life. I'm not talking to you about being a good Christian.
Right.
Okay? Because outside of your body is life.
Yes.
You have, only reason your body is alive because God has your soul and your spirit in there.
Yep.
Take that out and that thing will flop over and go back to dirt.
Yep.
You understand?
Amen.
So God is giving you an opportunity, and most of you guys are very blessed because you have Christian parents. That's like, oh man, I didn't have a Christian parent till I was what, maybe 13 or 14, but I was already in a gang by 12. But my mom became a Christian, and that really saved our household. Because now she was going to teach us what it took to gain life, okay? When you have eternal life, you have the blessing of God, the riches of God, and everything that he wants for you forever. Let's continue.
Amen. Good word, Pastor. Good word.
Hallelujah.
Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. The Lord said, you can do it. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Watch this. It says, matter of fact, let's start at verse 8. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you and is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You hear that?
Amen.
For it's with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with the mouth that you confess and are saved. You understand? Now, that's how you get saved. But you know it left out an instruction. What's the first instruction before you say that prayer?
Repent.
Because if you don't repent, it doesn't mean anything that you believe all of that. Repent means what? To change your mind, to turn around and go the other way. When I finally got saved at 17, I repented. All the weed I smoked, all the girls I've been with, I want to tell you, Lord, I'm not living like that no more. I repent. That meant I'm going the other way, okay, toward life.
Yes.
Because if I stayed on that course, meeting Daniel Hood was the greatest thing ever happened to me. Because Daniel said, I was selling drugs, I was having a good time, I was making money, I was buying shoes, I was buying jewelry, and then he said, I went to a party, I got shot, and he said, I died. And then he showed me his obituary. And he said, while I was going through the tunnel on my way to hell, he said, I'm being escalated through this tunnel, and at the end of the tunnel is flames. And I said, so you were dreaming, right? He went, no. It was like me and you standing here. It's like if somebody was cooking, baking cookies, he said, we'd both smell it. All my senses were working perfect. I knew I was real. This is how it's gonna be, right? And he said, something grabbed me and I thumped back in my body. And he was a minister here till about 2009 till he finally died because he got shot in 87. But to hear that coming out of his mouth and for him to reach in his pocket and show me that they had already written up his obituary in the newspaper.
Wow.
Let me know, this guy's not lying to you. He's trying to tell you the truth, okay? They had already written up that he had died. So, what are we trying to get you to gain here? Life. What's inclusive in life? Because you have to realize Jesus Christ resurrected. When he resurrected, he had a couple of meals.
Yeah, he did.
He hugged people.
Yeah. Walked through a door.
He walked through a door. That's a great body. I was going to say walked in a door, but Pastor Bia corrected me. He walked through a door. He translated from here to there when he felt like it.
Yep.
This is a different body.
He felt like it.
God saying, look, Jesus died and resurrected so that he can make other people like him with the same body.
Yeah.
So you're not being going to heaven so you can float around with wings on a cloud. Stop watching cartoons.
Amen.
You're getting resurrected so that Jesus can have people that are just like him.
Yes.
You understand?
Woo!
So you're getting a resurrected body.
Yes.
So that you can live forever in a resurrected body.
Yes.
In a new world with God.
Yes.
So when Jesus promised you eternal life, you have no idea what you just been promised. I mean, you promised me eternal life and I'm gonna be an old man, wrinkled, and I can barely walk. No thanks.
Right.
But if I can have a body like Jesus,
yes,
thank you very much.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Now I'm saying this because things are on the line. You understand? There is an event that is coming upon the world that everybody is afraid to talk about. That most churches, if their pastor came in and spoke on it, they would have to have a meeting with the council and talk about getting their job, keeping their job. Because Satan has it where churches can't tell you the truth.
That's right.
That's okay?
Right. That's right.
And if you don't know the truth, then you're subject to what you see on TV and lies, okay?
Yeah.
So the truth of the matter is this. Here, let's see if we can look at this before we talk about it, okay? Let's go to Genesis chapter 6. Thank you, Father. Genesis chapter 6. Someone said, does God really be talking to you while you're speaking? Yes, it's weird, but it happens.
Yeah.
Are you there in Genesis chapter 6? Okay, now watch this. It says, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth that daughters were born to them. The sons of men saw that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took wives of all they wish, of all they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Who's he talking to there? Noah. What's he telling Noah? Noah, it's going to rain. He's like, Noah's like, you know, it never rained before, Lord. What do you mean? Water coming out of the sky has never done that before? It's like, Noah, I'm God. I'm telling you, it's going to rain. And it's going to rain so long that everybody who's not on this boat I'm telling you to put together is going to drown and perish. It's going to happen in 120 years, Noah. Build the boat and get prepared. God gave them a timeline, right? It's coming. So, at the end of 120 years, in chapter 7, verse 11, it says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 16th day, on the second month, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of heaven were opened, and rain fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Who survived? Noah and seven others, right? What is God trying to tell you? In the future, this event will happen again. God will give you 120 years. The boat now is called Jesus.
Yes.
He is the only door. Did the scriptures in Acts say he's the only door?
Only way.
He's the only way. How many doors was on the ark?
One.
Okay. So God is letting you know Noah was the only way. Jesus is going to be the only way. The next flood will not be water, but it will be trouble throughout the whole world. Yeah. Okay. But I'm going to save one that I had with to build the boat, and seven others, there'll be eight. When Jesus calls up the church, there's seven churches,
yeah,
and the person calling us up is who? Jesus. That's eight.
It is.
So he's trying to tell you this whole event is planned again, okay?
Yeah.
That's why my grandfather said to me, you don't know nothing. Because we think we got life figured out, and God is trying to teach human beings how to gain life. Okay, we're going to look at something. You guys, I know you've been in school all week, but you're going to learn something else. Look to the board. Let's go to the board. You guys got on the board? Adonai. Okay. Here's a guy named Methuselah. See this guy right here? We'll start this at count zero, right? This is Methuselah. You know what his name means in Hebrew? When you die. When he dies, it's coming.
Yeah.
That's his name.
That's what it means.
Meth is death, right? When he dies, it's coming. So, Methuselah lives to be 187. And he gives birth to his son, Lamech. Yay. Here's Lamech. Lamech's born. Lamech says after Lamech turns 182, after Lamech turns 182, he gives birth to Noah. Now we know when Noah's born, 600 years later is going to be the flood, right? Okay. So Lamech's number and Noah's number is now the age of Methuselah, which is 369. Add 600 to 369, and how much you have? 969. So that means when the flood came, Methuselah was 969 years old. But who was 600? Noah. But Noah was 600, okay? So his name became a fulfilled prophecy. When he died, the flood came. Okay? Now, I wanted to talk about this guy, though. Methuselah. Methuselah lived to be 500, nope. That's how many years he lived after. He lived to be 777 years old. Okay? Now, when Lamech dies, 5 years later, Methuselah turns 960. So the flood begins 5 years after 777. 5 years later, the flood happened. The word of God is prophecy.
Yes.
2016. I'm going to explain this to you. 2016, on the Hebrew calendar, it was the year 5777. In the 16th year he dies, 16, 17, 18, 19, 2020. So the Lord is like, look, this is just this backwards. Now, when Lamech dies, exactly 5 years later, was what? The 120th year. Do you understand that? When Lamech dies, 5 years later, it's the 120th year. When this happened, when it was the Hebrew year, 5777, 5 years later, it's going to be 2020. Okay. Now, if you kids aren't scared, you're about to be. Let's go. Now watch this, because I want to teach you something. Listen. They're not going to tell you what is necessary to gain life. But listen, I'm going to be with my mom forever. You understand? Because she has gained life and she taught me how to gain life. You understand? Let's read this and then we're going to talk, okay? Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. Did this one. Now watch, huh? No, oh, I left my glasses right there. All right. You guys there? All right, I'm gonna start reading at verse 37. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Who's talking there?
Jesus.
Jesus is God. You know what the scripture says? It's impossible for him to lie. Mm-hmm. He says the same as it was in the days of Noah is the same way it's going to be at the coming of the Son of Man. Let's look at what happens here. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving and marrying and hanging out at the mall and playing video games. And they knew nothing about what would happen till the flood came and took them all away. It says that how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other one left. The word taken means as a friend or companion with God. The one left means I'm done with you as a divorce. This is not some man speaking here. This is God. It's impossible for him to lie. What is he saying? The day is coming when two will be in the field, one will be taken, and the other one will be left. Left where? On the earth. Okay? It says here, two women will be grinding with hand at the mill, one will be taken and the other one left. Therefore, watch, because you do not know what day your Lord will come. But understand this, that if the owner of the house had known, okay, what time the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour where you do not expect. What is God saying? Be living for Jesus when I come. Because if you think I stop watching you at certain times because you're hiding, oh, nobody sees me now, what I'm doing. God is like this. Everywhere you go, there's God like this. So that's what you're going to do, huh? Hope your parents don't find out. I already know. I ain't going to tell on you. Now, I think I am. When they praying, I'm going to tell them. You understand? Because if you don't tell them, then they won't correct you. Then you won't get taken. You won't understand what's going on. Then you could be ending up one of these people left. Because you're not thinking. Like my grandfather said, boy, you don't know nothing. You don't know nothing because you haven't understood God.
Yes.
You haven't understood the plan. Look, you got thrown into the plan. We understand that. It's like, I didn't ask to be born. Parents told me that one day. I said, I don't care. You here now, you're going to follow the rules.
Right.
Nobody care if you asked to be born. You here. Now you got to, I'm going to teach you the rules. You got to follow them. You understand? This is the rule before you got here. So in fairness, God is going to tell you how to gain life since you're here. You understand? How to be blessed since you're here. Okay? Because if you walk in Christ, you're going to be blessed.
Amen.
I've tried it both ways. I've tried my best to live in the world. I'm going to just be like everybody else. Everything going down. You know why? God's not with me. He's like, go ahead. Let's see how far it gets you. So here we are. We have a chance and an opportunity at life.
Yes.
Let's look at this. We're going to go to Revelation chapter 5. I want you guys to know that we will be in heaven, and we have three events to attend before the tribulation starts. Did you hear what I said?
Amen.
Christians will be in heaven. And you have basically three dress-up events to go to before the tribulation even starts. You understand? So I want to go through this because I want you to know where you will be and where people will be who say, I don't need God, okay? Because that's what they're trying to teach you. You don't need God.
Right.
Okay? It's not cool to be a Christian.
Not cool.
It's not cool to be a drug head either.
Okay.
So I'm gonna go with this way.
Crackhead.
Right? It's not cool to be a Christian. You guys gotta listen. Check this out. First of all, I'm gonna go to chapter 4 in Revelation first. I hope I got a little time, Pastor Ben. Hallelujah. It says, after this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here. That's that day where two together, one taken, the other one left. said, come up here and I will show you what must take place after this. After what? After the church time is over. The church are people who believe in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, and who have repented.
Yes.
That time is not going to last forever. You understand?
Amen.
This is what God was telling the world when the thing would happen with Noah. Because Noah means rest. His name means rest. But if you write his name backward, it means grace. So when Noah went up, that means grace was over.
Yes.
And so you have to understand a period, this period of grace. What is grace? You got time to get it right. But keep watch because you don't know what day or hour I'm coming.
Right.
That's messed up, huh? You're like, you can at least tell me so I can do some stuff.
Because
that's how we think, right? If I knew, I'd send it all the way up to, like, because we did it when we was kids.
Yeah.
Mama be home at 5. We can't do this no more, right? You like, we're going to pray on it. We're going to jump on the beds. We're going to do flips. And we're going to watch what we want. And then, oh, mama's going to be home at 5. Everybody clean up. That's what you do. We've done it, right?
Yep, yep, yep.
So God's like this. I'm not going to tell you when I'm coming. But when I get home, I'm either have some candy or a belt.
Right.
Depending on what you're doing.
Well.
Right?
Amen.
This is what God's saying. Look, he said, come up here and I will show you what must take place after this. Glasses. At once, I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne, and someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper, carnelian, a rainbow, resembling an emerald, encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. And they were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their head. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumbling and peals of thunder. Before the throne were seven lamps. If you go to chapter 1, it says the seven lamps are the seven churches.
Yes.
So guess who's in heaven? Somebody said, come up here. And the church left.
Yes.
The repented, we love Jesus people, left.
Yes.
And there are people that are on earth that have to go through what? The next 7 years. But wait, we just got to heaven. Because I'm telling you what, once I get to heaven, I don't even want to talk about earth.
Amen. That's the truth.
I grew up in South Central LA. It was a horrible experience. And it really hurts my feelings to talk about it. So while I'm in heaven, I only want to talk about streets of gold. I want to talk about good stuff, right?
Amen.
So understand, when you're there, you have three events to go to. Let's look at these events, okay? So go to chapter 5. Chapter 5. So now we're already in heaven. And then it says, then I saw in the right hand of one who sat on the throne a scroll, and on both sides sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. Now we're in heaven watching this. It says, I wept and wept because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and the seven seals. Who is the Lion of Judah, the Root of David? That's Jesus. So they said, don't cry, because the person who won the victory for you is here, and he can open the seals for you. He says, then I saw a lamb looking at as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by four living creatures. And the elders, he had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne, and when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were all holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sang a new song. So now, when he takes the scroll, it says, the saints began to sing a new song. Where are the saints at? We're in heaven. So we start singing this song. I guess they're going to teach it to us when we get there, right? Now, this is a praise and worship party. You understand? This is because listen how it goes. The saints sing, you are worthy to take the scroll, to open the seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God. For every tribe, language, people, and nation, you have made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. They will reign on the earth. Listen to this, you guys. He says, and they will reign on the earth. Our song is saying, we will. That means we're in heaven. That means we're going back, but not now. Because when Jesus comes back, then we're coming back, not in these bodies, in some powerful bodies.
Yeah.
You understand? He's like, Pastor, how am I supposed to believe all this? I can show you every event in the world that God wrote it before it came. So if you can believe 320 events that God prophesied about and came true, you can believe this.
Right.
Okay? Now it says here, after we sang our song, it says, then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 upon 10,000, and they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they sang. So now the angels are singing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. We're singing, you are worthy to take the scroll. And they're singing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Mm. And I guess we're going back and forth, or we're doing like just the ladies, just the angels, just the saints, just the... You know. Y'all never been to a party. They ain't never been to a party yet. Well, in the black neighborhood, you know, just the ladies this time. And then we go, okay, just the angels, just the saints. But we're going, we're singing these songs in heaven, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The Antichrist hasn't even been released. The first, as soon as we get there, you know what happens? There's a wedding banquet.
Yeah.
First of all, there's a wedding, and Jesus' mother is there. There is a wedding. Who's the wedding with? The church and Christ.
Yeah.
So we go to a wedding, and then after that, the 24 elders have crowns on their heads. So now we have to go to a crowning ceremony and declare that Jesus is king. So we can't just, so the tribulation can't just start as soon as you get to heaven. Jesus, like, my bride is here, I got some things to do.
Right.
Can you give me 6 months? And plus, in Esther, it says that the king is going to take you all over to see all of his wealth and what you have inherited.
Yeah.
That's in the book of Esther. And he says that takes 180 days, which is 6 months.
Amen.
So you're going to be in heaven and you got some things to see and some people to meet and... You need your key to your place. I don't know if you need keys up there, but you got, you know, there's things going on.
Right,
listen.
Right.
A person who you can't see made this place. So what's more powerful?
Right.
This is not it. So God is trying to let you know there is a place that is better than this place that I have reserved for those who repent, believe in my son, Jesus Christ, and live for me.
Amen.
And I'm preparing that place for you.
Amen.
Okay, here, let's finish this up. Okay, so they're singing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory. Okay, so then now in chapter 6, Jesus says, okay, now it's time to release the Antichrist upon the world. He says, I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, come. And I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. That person riding that horse with a crown on his head is an antichrist. Antichrist don't mean anti. The word means pseudo, fake, false. So the false Christ comes into the world. What's his? What does he want to do? He wants to conquer everything. He wants to bring all nations under his power. Now he wants to make you take a mark in your right hand or in your forehead, and now you can't buy nothing or eat nothing or do nothing unless you have his mark of 666 in your right hand or your forehead. That's what's going to be going on the earth. You just came from a praise and worship party, and you know what? I don't want to talk about it because I don't care what's going on down there. When Jesus go back, I'll go back, then we can talk about it.
Right.
I'm trying to lay out to you your future if you want it. Or you can have the world's future because they're advertising it to you every day. Great gospel artists come out, you can't even get 10 bucks for an album. A filthy artist comes out, and what happened? They make him a millionaire and put him right in front of you and say, this is cool, be like him.
Right.
He's going to hell. Don't you want to go with him? Mm-hmm. So they make their artists very popular to our kids, right?
Right.
And you think, oh, she's not cool. She's on stage, and it's like, if that was your daughter dancing on that stage with that on, would you be happy? And you'd be like, no. They're constantly dying of drug overdoses.
Yep.
But they're still putting them in front of you going, these are the cool people. And then Christians are the uncool people. Be like this. Why? Because they're selling you Satan's side of the story. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to sell you Jesus' side of the story. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Because their side, they also get eternal life too. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I should say existence. Because life, according to God, can consist of laughter, music, taste of food, friends, hugs. That's life.
Mm-hmm.
According to the Hebrew, living water. There ain't no water there. Everything that you can think of as life is not where they're going. All your favorite artists, they're so cool. They're going to a place where there's no laughter, no music, no friends, no love, no water.
No water.
Okay?
Flowers.
In pain.
And yeah, that would be bad enough. But while they're there, they're also in torment.
Yeah.
That's right.
And Satan's selling this to you?
Yep.
These are the cool people. You got to wake up.
Yeah.
You got to wake up. And right now, you can go on the internet and you can find out who's worshiping demons, because they don't even hide it anymore. When we was kids, we didn't even know who was worshiping Satan. Nowadays, they just put it out there. Yep. Jay-Z, yeah, I gave my life to the devil. Like, dang, Jay-Z, got to be a little low about it, right? Kanye, all these people, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
So you got to understand what they're selling you and what God is selling you.
Yes.
I'm selling you life. I'm trying to introduce you to the real plan. Because
yes.
This is an eternal plan of life.
Yes.
Amen.
10 minutes, Pastor.
10 minutes, and I'm done, you guys. Let's look at this, okay? Verse 3, it says, when the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard a second living creature say, come. And then another horse came, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. To him was given a large sword. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come. And I looked, and there before me was a black horse, and his rider was holding a pair of scales, and in his hand in his hand, then heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a day's wage and three quarts of barley for a day's wage, and do not damage the oil or the wine. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the fourth living creature say, come. And I looked, and there before me was a pale horse, and his rider was named Death and Hades, and following close behind him, they were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, by famine, and by plagues, and by the beast of the earth. Famine is no food. Plagues is what? Disease. You see what's going on in China right now?
Yep.
The Lord told me this morning, that's a small thing of how it's going to look during the tribulation. They have whole hospitals packed with people who are dying of this coronavirus, right? Listen, you guys, viruses don't pop up. Right. They are created.
Yeah.
You have to understand that. Virus. You have an enemy here, okay? They're created. So that's what's going on there. It's only, God said, that's only a small drop to what the tribulation will look like. So why do I preach so hard? And why am I telling you the truth so hard? And why? Because I want you to have life.
Yes.
Jalen, they probably got football up there. It wouldn't be heaven if it's not football. We could be on the same team. God has stuff prepared for us. Who's going to give it up while Satan is constantly trying to sell you hell?
Right.
And giving you a new religion?
Right.
There's other ways than Jesus, not according to the law.
Amen.
I'm ending at this. You guys, I hated sin. I hated it. It was a horrible part of my life. Getting in fights all the time, meeting different girls, getting in more fights, getting drunk, getting high. And everybody, you having a great time. I was like, no, I'm not. I'm really miserable.
Right.
I just wish there was a balm that I could take, some medicine that I could take to make me not so lustful and wanting to get high and angry all the time. I just wish there was a balm in Gilead,
yeah.
Something that I could take that would heal me of the desire to always live in sin.
Yes. Yes.
And my mother said, I found Jesus Christ. And I'm going to lead you guys. We're not having any more parties at our house, she said. We're not having any more parties. We're not having any more liquor at this house. We're not having any more parties at this house. And Sandy, you don't have to go to the store and buy me cigarettes ever again. God healed me last night. She said, we're going to live a different life in this house. And we start going to church. And I hated it. I tried to sit on the back row. She pulled me to the front row. I didn't want to sing. She put me up there. We are soldiers in the army. We have to fight before we... Oh, my God. I couldn't wait till church was over. But when I became 17, I realized what she was doing. She was introducing me to life.
Yes.
And I got it. And once I got it, I said, I'm going to do better in school. I got a scholarship at University of Colorado. Wow, 4 years later, I'm signing a contract with the Raiders. My other friends are like, they're in jail. They got four kids. They got payments. I'm like, I got blessed because I got a healing for my sin sickness.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. Now you know. When you came in, you didn't know nothing. Now you know. You can now live for Christ because he's coming at a time that you don't know. Be ready. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.